This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Amen. Please be seated. In all of Scripture, this reading from Isaiah, this excerpt, is one of the most encouraging and the most beautiful to hear when one is going through a time of panic or fear. Or overwhelming odds where you're about to give up hope. Well, it was written for people who felt exactly that way. The people of Israel had been overrun by the armies of Babylon, and they were taken far, far away from their homeland. And for 70 years, they lived in exile. They lived in exile, and now comes the time for them to be able to go back home. And they were panicked. It was a long, long journey up and all the way around the Fertile Crescent. They weren't sure they would even make it. It wasn't like they could just get on a plane. They were panicked and fearful. Imagine what these words sounded like to them and what a welcome word it was. And we can all imagine how welcome those words are to us when we feel that way. Perhaps when you heard them this morning, they did bring you some comfort in a time in your own life when maybe you're afraid or overwhelmed by something in your life. A good friend of mine has a son who has been struggling with alcohol and drug abuse for years and years and years. I will call him Jake. Jake lived far away from my friend, far away from she and his dad and his sister, lived up in Jacksonville, and they lived here. He worked at a very low-paying job, and he lived with his girlfriend and their two small children. And he struggled with that low-paying job, and then he would come home at night and really get no rest because she worked the night shift, and then he would have to take care of these two small children. So he had no time for rest or renewal or to really focus on his recovery from his addictions. And so he would be on the wagon and off the wagon and on the wagon and off the wagon. And one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, my friend received a phone call. And here is her son's girlfriend, panicked and desperate, on the other end of the phone saying, "He's not home. I have no idea where he is. I'm fearing the worst. He's not answering my calls. Nobody knows where he is." Well, the next morning, her son Jake called her. And while he was alive, he said he certainly wasn't well. He was desperate himself. He said that, sure enough, he and a friend, a buddy from work, had gone out drinking after work, and too drunk to drive home, they decided to go back to the shop and spend the night there. And that's exactly what they did. Well, this so-called buddy, in the middle of the night, had stolen all the cash from the job that had been left there on the sly without Jake knowing it. And the next day, his boss was sure that it was Jake, and he fired him. Jake says, "How am I going to take care of my children? What am I going to do? I have nothing. I don't know what to do, Mom. Where should I turn?" And my friend, in her wisdom, said, "Now you turn to God. Now." Well, on the other end of the phone, she could hear muffled sobs when he's trying to hold it back. And then a deep breath. And the next day, he went back to his 12-step program. He found a sponsor who had been in recovery for many, many years. He got a new job that very week, and he put his life back together. And that was years and years ago. And now he has his own strong recovery and is helping other people. Jake finally gave up. He finally admitted that he was powerless and that he had to depend on a power greater than himself. He had to know that he didn't walk alone and that somebody did walk through the fire with him, did walk through the floods with him. And he finally knew it. And my friend had her son back. Throughout Scripture and all through the Advent season, we heard this: do not fear. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And it seems so simple, but it's not easy when you're feeling desperate. It's not easy when everything seems to be going wrong. And we live in a world that doesn't really make it much easier, it seems. Fearful is a way to put it. A lot of people's outlook is in fear. We're surrounded and bombarded by violence and by movies that are steeped in unspeakable harm to other people. And not only movies, but videos and television shows. And there's a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania by the name of George Gerbner. He works in the Department of Communications, and he says that we are developing, and I quote, a mean world syndrome. Mean world syndrome. He's found a direct link between watching violence and an exaggerated fearfulness. In watching so many acts of violence, we've become desensitized and come to believe that the world is like that, a scary and threatening place at times. Well, isn't it possible that these items are in the news and make such titillating theater because they're not the norm? Isn't it possible that that's why they make the news? And yes, the old adage, if it bleeds, it leads, still carries the day in the news world, but it doesn't have to carry the day for us. It doesn't have to carry the day for us. We walk a fine line between fear that numbs us, fear that makes us cynical, and healthy fear. And we need healthy fear. If we don't pay attention to that suspicious mole or that lump and go and have it taken care of, we're going to be in trouble. If we don't pay attention to what could happen, if we give in to our own temptations and our own addictions, we'd be a lot worse off. If we don't pay attention to that little bit of fear that may come in an intuition, when we think something just might be wrong and then we go check it out and prevent a problem, we need healthy fear. But what God is saying in Scripture is not to let our fears define who we are, not to let ourselves be overrun, and to use these mantras of peace be still when we do wake up in the middle of the night with fear, or when something happens and we turn immediately feeling that fear. That's why the Scripture verses are so important for us to use over and over and over again, especially when we're going through a hard time. We are being called by name, it says today, and we are deeply, deeply loved by God. But how do we trust that? How do we know that God is real? Just day before yesterday, somebody came to me and said, I don't believe in God. I can't believe in a God that would allow awful things to happen. How can you be so sure? And I said, well, frankly, there are times when I'm not so sure, and I doubt also. Thank God it's not as often as it used to be, but there are times. And I think that if we're all honest, we realize that we need one another to hold each other up. That's why in our creeds we say we believe in one God, so that when you're feeling doubtful, I can be strong for you. And when I'm feeling doubtful, you can be strong for me. We are a corporate church. Corporate meaning body, one body. We need one another. And frequently we think about God as being somewhere out here in the sweet by and by, when really, throughout the scripture, we're told that God and the love of God and the Holy Spirit courses in and through all of us, and in our relationships especially. When things are bad and when we don't know what to do, we can rely on one another and realize that God is everywhere. There's a great quote, and I haven't found its author yet, but I heard a priest say it once, that we are in God as fish are in water. We are in God as fish are in water. We are so immersed in God that we miss God everywhere. God is omnipresent, always walking with us. But if we pay attention, we get glimpses of God. Maybe in an orange and yellow rays coming over the ocean at sunrise. Maybe in some of our gorgeous South Florida sunsets. Maybe in a beautiful piece of music. Maybe in a conversation with a loved one where you're really connecting with an old friend, maybe, and for that moment in time, all feels right with the world. Or maybe when we take the time for some stillness, and turn off all the electronics and get in touch with who we really are, who has called us by name and loved us deeply. But my sisters and brothers, we have to try. We have to do our part too. We have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. We've got to open that door from the inside. And when we see someone else troubled, we have to help them do the same and welcome the power of God into our lives. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and the voice came from above and said, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." He was being named. It was being declared that this is the Savior. And then he began his ministry. It's the same for us. We aren't loved by God because we behave so well. It's not like we get a reward at the banquet for our good behavior, being so Christ-like, being so Christian. No, it's the other way around. When we realize how much we are loved and that we cannot earn that love, then we naturally become more Christ-like and more Christian and realize our dependency on something greater than ourselves. And when we are willing to accept that grace, then we realize that that love is a gift far beyond anything we could hope or imagine. When we gather in church, I'm hoping that we have true God experiences through music and prayer and word with one another. And in that authentic experience, I pray that when we leave this place, we leave somehow a little bit larger, a little bit more aware of, with a new capacity to be patient and forgiving and loving. Maybe a new capacity to love new people and to love the people we already know even better, to go out of our way to maybe get rid of that resentment and just take that first step. Maybe to enter into some kind of new love for the world, and in that authentic God experience to find that our thoughts are more immediately compassionate and seeing the other person as a child of God. I pray we have the courage to participate in this love that has been given to us, especially when we doubt, and to know that we don't create it, we don't generate it ourselves, but that this love is generated through us and in us and between us and among us all the time. And when we participate in that love, we do accept that gift. My former boss, Sam Lloyd, wrote this, and I quote, "Out of the depths of the universe comes a declaration of unstoppable strength. The source of all that is, the Creator God, calls us by name and promises to go through everything, absolutely everything, with us. And because of this, we can choose not to be governed by our fear. As writer Anne Lamott puts it, courage is fear that has said its prayers. We can deal with the overwhelmings of a frightening world by opening them up to God. Of course, that doesn't automatically mean our fears will disappear. It just means that we can be free of fear's power. It means going ahead and living your life and doing what you need to do, loving, risking, leaning into the challenges your days bring in spite of your fear, because you have been claimed by an overwhelming love that puts that fear in its place." And now I'd like to read that little excerpt I read at the beginning of this sermon, and I'd like you to know and hear it as spoken just for you. Let us pray. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Amen."